Today's message is entitled, The Blessing of the Firstborn. I want us to begin reading in Romans chapter 8, but eventually I want us to get over to Genesis chapter 27. In Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 28, I think it's important for us to understand what the blessing of the firstborn was. We must realize that the firstborn and all the benefits of the firstborn in the Old Testament have reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the firstborn. In Romans 8, 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow or foreordain or forelove, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, that Christ might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, his own firstborn, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So we see here, this is reference. This is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the firstborn among many brethren. Hebrews 1:6. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. Worship who? The firstborn. All the blessings rested in the firstborn. If we are blessed, we must be blessed in the firstborn. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Those who are received as the firstborn are heirs with the firstborn. Now turn over to Genesis chapter 27. The story of Jacob and Esau. We looked at last week how that Esau sold his birthright. How that we read in Romans chapter 9 where Rebekah conceived and she had twin boys, Jacob and Esau. Esau was born first, so he was the oldest. He was the firstborn. And how that he sold his birthright. How he despised the things of God. And we find out in Romans chapter 9, God told Rebekah that before those boys were born, that the eldest, being Esau, would serve the younger, who was Jacob. And he said, because Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. God picked out one of those boys, and God set his love upon one of those boys. Why? Because God would. Everything that God does is right, and he's right in doing it. So let's begin reading in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 27. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, that his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and he saith unto him, my son, and he said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old, and I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapon, thy quiver, thy bow, and go into the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, and that my soul may bless thee before I die. Isaac thinks that he's getting ready to die. Now, if you'll read on in the scriptures, we find out that Isaac lived several years after this, but he actually thinks that he's getting ready to die. And it was the custom. Abraham, remember, blessed Isaac. He blessed him. And this is the blessing of Christ. And then Isaac is going to bless Esau. He thinks, well, he's the oldest, and he loved Esau. He loved the venison that he made and brought to him. And it says it here. He says, make that venison which I love. And he thinks he's going to die, so he's going to bless this son. He's going to pronounce a blessing. In blessing him, this will make him the heir of all that he has. He will be the spiritual leader of the family. He will take his father's place. And as the firstborn, he got a double portion of all the estate. The firstborn had the right and the authority of the position. That's what Isaac's doing here. That's why he says, Esau, you come here, and this is what I want you to do, and you go do this, and then I'm going to bless you. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. Now listen, you don't have to turn, but it says, give thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, fit, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, by Christ, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. So you see here, he has the preeminence. He's made all things. Everything is his because he's the firstborn. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body. Isaac says, Esau, you're going to be the head of this family. It all rests upon you. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, he, Christ, might have the preeminence. He's saying, Esau, I'm going to bless you, and you're going to have preeminence in this whole family. That's what he's doing here. That's what he's saying. This was not something that was taken lightly. Abraham didn't take it lightly when he pronounced this upon Isaac. This was God doing this. This was God conferring this upon them. And all this pointed to Jesus Christ, who in the family, who over all creation, all has the preeminence. It said in Hebrews that I've already read, when he came into the world, and the angels of God worshiped him. Why did they worship him? He has the preeminence. It's his by right. It's his by birth. He has the right. He has the right to this position as the firstborn. Now, it's important that we understand this. Most people don't understand this, and if you don't understand this, this is just some story. Let's read on. Verse 5. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. Now remember that Rebekah knew that who was the one that would receive the blessing? It would be Jacob. Because God said, I've chosen Jacob over Esau. The eldest boy is going to serve the youngest boy, who is Jacob. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And while Esau's gone, Esau's taking his weapon. He's going out to kill a deer to bring it and to dress it and make a meal for his father. Rebekah hears what's going on. And she speaks to her son, Jacob. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speaking to Esau, thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to all which I command thee. Here we see deception. And you read from a lot of different men, and I know what she did was wrong. She lied. She's going to deceive her husband, who's old and he can't see. He can't discern whether this is Jacob or Esau. But God Almighty is in control of all things. God Almighty has arranged this. Now, I can't explain that, but he has. And she's going to determine that Jacob get the blessing. That Jacob would get the blessing of the firstborn. You say, well, he's not the firstborn. I know he's not. He's born second. But God has determined before they were ever born, before they had done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. God says the elder is going to serve the younger. You remember now watch, Esau's already sold his birthright. He sold it. He made light of it. He's already married a Canaanite woman, which brought grief to Isaac, his father, and his mother. He's a rebel. He's a rebel. Rebekah forms a plan of diverting the blessing from Esau to Jacob. Jacob was the elect child of God, set apart. He may not have looked like it, but he was. God chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, that no flesh glory in his sight. And Rebekah tells Jacob, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. And here's what she's going to tell him to do. She's telling Jacob, this is what we're going to do while Esau's gone. Go now, verse 9, down through verse 12. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make thee savory meat for thy father, which he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat, and that he may bless thee. He may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. We're not the same. We're different. And my father, peradventure, will fill me, and I will seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. If I go in there like I am, when he finds out who I am, he's going to pronounce a curse on me for trying to get the blessing in my own strength. That's what he says. This is the dilemma. Rebekah instructs Jacob on what to do. She tells him. Jacob said, I'll be found out. Now, what I see here, this is like the first time a person hears the gospel. We hear the gospel about we must be accepted in God's sight. How are we accepted? How are we going to approach a holy and a righteous and just God? He won't receive us. We're going to be discovered who we are. We're just a trickster. We're just a sinner. All men by nature are deceivers. How can I come to God the Father? Only in the person of his Son. And this is how you can approach God. And this is what Rebekah is saying. This is how you can go to your Father and get the blessing. And you'll be blessed. Verse 13, and his mother said unto him, she says, unto me be thy curse. My son, only obey my voice and go and fetch me them. You don't understand, Jacob. You have to trust me. You obey my voice. She said, upon me be thy curse. Christ became a surety for his people, and upon him came the curse. He agreed to die. And now he says, obey my voice. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow him. They obey him. They trust him. We must obey what we are commanded to do. She told him, this is what you do, Jacob. You obey my voice. You trust me. If you are to approach the Father and receive the blessing, if you come in yourself, you will be found out. You will be discovered. If you come apart from being found in Christ, you'll be rejected. The blessing is for Christ. He's the firstborn. That's the blessing. All the blessings are in Christ. Everything that God the Father has for a sinner is in Christ. In him alone. Verse 14, and he obeyed his mother, and he went, and he fetched, and brought him to his mother, and his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. She made the meat. She took those animals that he brought, those 2 kids of the goats, and she brought them in. He brought them in, and she killed those animals, and she made this meat, whatever it was, and it tastes like that venison that he loved. She knew how to make it. She knew, and this is what she does. Jacob's just observing. His mama's doing this. Verse 15. Now watch this. This is good. This is important. And read Rebecca. Now notice, remember Jacob said, now how can I go to my father? Esau's a hairy man. I'm a smooth man. And when his daddy, he said, when my daddy puts his hand on me, he's going to feel me and he'll know who I am. And Rebecca took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau. She's going to take Esau's raiment, which were with her in the house, and she put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. You see the picture here. Jacob is going to be robed in the garments of his eldest brother. Oh, this is good. This is the only way a sinner can approach the holy God is in the righteousness of our elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what she does. She says, he won't fill you, he'll fill his son. A righteousness that has been provided for him. This is not what Jacob did. His mother did all this for him. It's provided everything that God demands for a sinner. To approach his holy throne, God provides. Only God can give. And what God demands, God does give. Jacob didn't make the garment. It was given to him to clothe him. She said, come here, Jacob. I'm going to cover you. And when you go to approach your father, he's not going to feel you. He'll feel his son. Isaiah 61:10. He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. With this garment on, he is one with his brother Esau. That's what she's doing. If we would obtain a blessing, and all the blessings are in Christ, if we would be blessed of our Heavenly Father, we must come for it in the garments of our other elder brother, clothed with his righteousness, who is the firstborn among the brethren, lest the smoothness and the softness of Jacob's hands and neck should betray him. She covered him. Covered him. And then Rebekah gave Jacob this savory meat that she prepared. He didn't make it. He didn't know how to. She did. She knew this is what he loves. And our Lord's death is like savory meat that his father loves. And that's what he's satisfied with. The animals had to be slain before it could be prepared. Our Lord said, my flesh is meat indeed. Everything the sinner needs to approach the Father is prepared and given unto us. Not by works of righteousness which we've done. Everything that God requires, now get this, everything that God requires, only God can give. Verse 18. Here Jacob's going to approach his father. Now, can you imagine the scene? Can you imagine how Jacob feels? You believe this will work? Will I really be accepted? Will I really be blessed? Or will I be cursed? Will I be found out? It's only in Christ. In yourself you will be. God will expose you for who you are. A wicked, ungodly surplanter. A wicked and ungodly sinner. But now he comes. And he came unto his father and he said, my father. And he said, here I am. And he asked the question, who art thou? My son. And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou biddest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat my venison, that thy soul may bless me. Jacob has on the garments. He has the savory meat. Now he comes to the father. And as he approaches the father, his father asks him who he is. And he says, I'm Esau. He comes in Esau's name. It's in Christ's name that we approach the father. When we pray, our Lord said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. That's not just some magical term we use when we say some words and we call it praying. We say in the name of Jesus. That's in his authority. He's the firstborn. He has the preeminence. And he approached him in Esau's name. Can you imagine what would happen? And he said, who are you? He said, I'm Jacob. That being the end of that. He wouldn't have received him. He approached God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can only be received in his name. That means his authority and in his position. What's his authority? He's Lord over all. What's his position? He's the firstborn. He has the preeminence in all things. He's the only way that you can come to God the Father is through Jesus Christ. He's the only mediator between God the Father and any sinner is through Christ. It's the only way. You cannot come in your own way. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We dare not come in our own name. In our own name. The church of Pergamum, in Revelation, he said, they hold us fast my name. We come in his name. Now listen. When the Lord saved Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, and he tells, I think it's Ananias to go to him. Here's what he said. Go thy way, for he, Paul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. What's Paul going to do? He's going to bear his name. He said, I've done everything you required. We rest in the work that Christ has done. We rest in the work of another. I am trusting in what he's done. I come to God the Father in Christ's name, trusting in what he's done. He said, this is what you commanded. And what you've commanded only somebody else can perform, not in ourselves. And Isaac said to his son, verse 20, how is it that thou hast found this so quickly, my son? How did you find the deer and kill the deer and dress the deer and fix the venison so quickly that my soul may bless thee? How did you do this? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. How did you find Christ? How is it that did you do it? How did you get this? How did you find this so quickly? Do you say I did this or that? I walked an hour or I did something. Is that what you're going to say? How did you do this? Our Lord said, I was found in them that sought me not. If you find Christ, it's because he brought himself to you. That's how you find him. It ain't your efforts. He hadn't done anything, had he? No, he hadn't. But this is how he approached his father. Read on. Verse 21, and Isaac said unto Jacob, come near. Can you imagine what he thought? I picture him kindly standing off, and now here comes the real test. Now, I might deceive him back off here, but he said, you come near. I pray that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. Are you my son Esau? And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father. And he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice. His daddy's eyesight might be bad, but his hearing's not. He said, this sounds like Jacob, but it feels like Esau. He said, come near. I want to be found in Christ. Can you imagine what Jacob felt? He said, you sound like Jacob. And we'll always sound like Jacob. But we smell and feel like Esau, that oldest son. Verse 23. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And he said, "Art thou my son Esau?" And he said, "I am." And he said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee." And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he did drink. And his father Isaac said unto him, "Come near now, and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, watch this, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and he blessed him, and he said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field which the Lord hath blessed. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee." He said, "You smell like Esau." Our Lord's offering was a sweet-smelling savor. It says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ." A sweet smell. He said, "You smell like Esau." And when we come to God, we are a stink in God's nostrils in ourselves. But when we approach him in Christ, we have the sweet smell of Christ. Listen, "Because of thy savor, because of the savor of thy good ointment, thy name is an ointment poured forth." When you come to God, you must have the fragrance of Christ upon you. Psalms 45:8, "All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces, whereby they have made thee glad." So now, Isaac's going to pronounce the blessing upon Jacob. And God done said, that elder boy is going to serve that younger boy. They may have deceived their father, but God had arranged this on purpose, that this boy be blessed. Verse 28, "Therefore God gave thee the dew of heaven." That's the blessings of grace. "And the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine." The corn and the wine are the gospel provision. That's the blessings. We've been blessed. "Our Lord is Lord, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess him." Look at verse 29. "Let people serve thee, and let nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curses thee, and blessed be he that blesses thee." All these blessings come to the Father because we are received in the firstborn. Jacob has the blessing. And it says in Romans 8:14, now listen. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you've not received the spirit of a bondage, again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and in children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together." That's the blessing of the firstborn. If you are to be blessed with all the blessings that God hath, you must approach him in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God's firstborn. Amen.